time tonight. Let's not be bound by the elements of time, but let's project ourselves into that heavenly scene and worship and praise Him around the throne, for He deserves all glory, all worship and all praise. You'll find yourself enveloped in His glory as you picture yourself there, worshiping Him as only you can. For you're the only one that can please His heart in worship and praise. For He has a place in His heart just for you, just for your love. There's a place in His heart just for your worship. Oh, give it to Him tonight. Give Him your worship and your praise. Project yourself in heavenly places. Sit with Him in glory. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. We come to You. We worship You, Jesus. We give You all our love, O Lord. Giving Your love back to You, Jesus, and more besides. For we give unto You our love as well, O Lord. Glory, 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 glory. Yes, pure heart. Oh, He has waited and waited and waited for a bride that would be pure before Him, and that would just want to bless Him, that would just want to worship Him, that would just want to praise Him, that would just want to satisfy His heart, not asking anything in return, but just wanting to be a glory unto Him. Oh, the Lord has waited for this moment. He has waited to come and dwell in the pure praises of His people. Praise Him with a pure heart and with a pure motive, and you will find the Lord Jesus Himself will dwell among us. He desires to come to us in our praise and our worship unto Him. Praise Him with purity, not to receive, not to be free, not to get, but to give unto Him worship and praise and glory and honor to His holy name. Yes, Lord. Oh, we honor You, Jesus. We honor You. We glorify You.
I appreciate what God is doing, and I want to testify to you that I am receiving the prayers that many are praying for this church and for the pastor and for the elders. And I want to give you a report of what God has done in my life, not at the last elders retreat, but at the one before that. God, through a understanding of what the pastor shared, somehow put within me the ability to love Him unselfishly. And at first I didn't recognize all that this was, and all I had was a great goading just to love the Lord. It's like all of a sudden I woke up and I said, I owe the Lord years of love that I've neglected. I'd better get with it and start really expressing love to Him. And so I've done this for 2 years, and it has done such a work in my life. And God has taken that, and He's taken me into a certain place, and I'm anxious to go further and further and further in whatever this leads to. But I know that God would give this to you if you would but make a decision and mentally assent to the fact that it is your life's calling and existence just to love Him. And you've got to do a number of things. You've got to more than assent to that. You've got to express it. And in order for me to express it, I had to get a lot of deliverance. Because I was so bound, I was unable to express love to the Lord. I had the as it were, understanding and the motivation to do it, but I found myself bottled up and blocked. And when I would go to express love to Him, it would not go out of the room. And I had to seek deliverance, and I had to recognize what it was. And I had things on my emotions that were holding me back, so that I couldn't express it, so I couldn't say, I love you, Jesus, so that I couldn't get it out. And God has delivered me of many, many things. And I have more to go, I'm sure. But I appreciate that. And I have gotten a number of revelations as I have been loving the Lord. And I don't love Him only in church. I have found that I get some significant things loving Him out at my job or out in the mundane life. And it's so easy just to release your spirit in love to the Lord at those times. Because my mind is on nothing in the mundane job that I'm on at this point. And it is such a blessing because the Spirit of the Lord is right there. And I believe that most men are bound in their emotions. And I don't believe that just because of my experience. We're talking about different heritages. I know Scandinavians are bound in this area. And I come from that background. I know that. That's a characteristic of that race. And I know a lot of other men have that. And some men are more emotional than others. And they're not bound in that area. But if you are, you've got to recognize it for what it is. It's a demonic bondage that is to hold you back from being free to express to the Lord. And see, the shame of it is that you're robbing God of what He wants in you to give that love to Him. And not only for your own sake get delivered, but for God. Another thing I have learned is that God is vulnerable to our love. And I didn't know this. I did not know that the Sovereign Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth, more powerful than anything else, who has been revealing Himself to us time and time again in many wonderful ways, is vulnerable to my love, number 3,500,486,000 odd person on planet Earth located in Burien, Des Moines area. But God is vulnerable to your love. If you give your love to this world, He will be jealous. He will be jealous. That's what the Bible tells us. The Bible tells us that He is lusting to envy for every individual, everyone. It's not just corporately. Although that is true. The churches, see, there is a jealousy there concerning them as a body and as as denominations. But individually, we need to recognize this, that God has made Himself. He has chosen. He has made Himself to be vulnerable to your love. This ought to give you motivation to love Him more than you ever have before. Knowing that not only is He vulnerable to your love, but He responds. Yes. And being free to give love to the Lord and express it also causes you to be free to receive His love as well and to experience it. I have experienced the love of God so many marvelous ways. And just to feel, at first I thought these were experiences that would just come and go. But I've come to see that they keep coming, and they're growing, and it's a sustained thing, and continually. I have not had a vision. I have not fallen under the power. I have not been caught to the third heaven. I have not done anything to obtain the mark of having received, as some would. I haven't danced in the Spirit either, although I felt like I could have. But there are many people that have put a certain mark on these things as having obtained. Those are wonderful things, and I'm not going to deny that they'll come my way as God leads me on. But you see, in spite of not having obtained the mark in some people's minds as having really obtained, I have received this from God. And I have been asking for it for a long time. And I see that I have been, although I didn't even know what it was. But now that I am in this place and I can see what it is, I am so fulfilled in loving God that it is difficult to ask God for anything else. I don't feel the need to ask Him. I don't go and pray, Lord, I need this, I need this, I need this. For years, my prayers and eyes were on myself. I haven't this, I haven't that, you know, and all this kind of thing. And it's such a release. It's such a blessing to be able to put your eyes on Jesus no matter where you are. feeling good or not feeling good. Circumstances or no circumstances. Problems or no problems. I'm not saying that all of my problems are solved. Life goes on. But my eyes are on Jesus, and those things seem very insignificant. Very insignificant. Problems that a person should worry over are very insignificant. When you can express love to Jesus and receive from Him, and know that your problems will undoubtedly be new and fresh next month, and the month after that, and the month after that, as life and the devil come your way. But you can walk in a place from now to the rapture of just receiving from the Lord and loving Him, or you can walk in it with a self-centered way where everything is self. Every prayer is self. It's very amazing to see this. But God has just shown me this in such a wonderful experiential way to where I know this is what God wants. And if you will make that decision, if you will just project yourself and push, because see, the devil is pushing on you not to let you do it. So that you'll make these decisions and you won't carry through. But just pick yourself up and love Him today. Love Him today. Love Him for this minute. Love Him for this service. And then you'll pick yourself up on Tuesday and say, Monday slipped by, but not today. And if you'll keep doing that and keep doing that, you'll put yourself right into that place until it's a minute-by-minute relationship with the Lord. Such a wonderful place. Amen.
I just can't emphasize enough how important that testimony was.
Yes.
That is where God is trying to take us. And so if you didn't listen, I recommend that you get that tape and listen to that. You see, it isn't experiences, it's relationship. Mm. The experiences will bring us to the relationship, but that is the goal. It's the relationship. It's the fulfillment of the love of the Lord. And when we catch this and begin to move into it, you're going to find that we're going to begin to experience that new level of the presence of the Lord in our midst that God is trying to bring us to. And I am just so jealous for us to come up to that higher place that God has for us, that we might experience the Lord in an intimate relationship. And when we are there, we're going to find that the enemy is going to tremble. And besides that, God's going to be able to open the door unto us for His glory and for His great namesake. Take heed to what the Spirit is calling us to do tonight.
Hallelujah. Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. And I feel so thankful for that, that God is directing my heart into His love. And like our brother was sharing tonight, you know, this is Christianity. This is the reality of our relationship with God, is a real love relationship to Him. And you know, you have to work at love in marriage. You have to develop it. You have to work it. If you're finding that there are things getting in the way, you have to find out what they are, and you have to get them out of the way, and you have to begin to develop love, expressing love, and showing love, and building love. You know, the Bible says, he that seeketh love covers sin. You seek love. You can really seek after love. I feel so different. I don't feel like the same person I was two years ago. I feel so changed. And about that time, in the beginning of this move, you know, I wanted God to change my life, and I wanted to get down to the real deep things. And I found myself again and again being brought into greater love and challenged into greater faith. The simple things, those things that are profound, and I feel like it's exciting to search out these things that God is presenting. But just recently, another aspect has come to me, and it's been so wonderful. It has been so wonderful. And it's the love of God, especially as seen in the brethren. My wife and I had an opportunity in family to have a little vacation, be at a satellite church for a while, and among certain brethren, I love them so much. I love them so much. Had such a hard time leaving them. Had a hard time leaving here. Had a hard time leaving there. And I came back, and it was so hard to leave. Just loved them so much. You know, it was a little bit of a loss there, a feeling of loss. And we came to service Friday night. Boy, I'm telling you, it was so precious to be back again. The presence of the Lord fell, and it was as if my friends were here, as if they were here, experiencing that love all over again. And it was so obvious that it was not them so much. It was Jesus in them that I love so desperately. I have found such a free relationship in loving the Lord. It's so wonderful, so delightful. It's so marvelous not to have to struggle and struggle, but just to love Him.
The Lord is directing my heart into the love of God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. Like my brother Lanny, I've had to make many decisions along this line. You know, there's battles to be fought. But you know, when God has given a promise, and especially when He's laid out the first commandment, thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. You know, we got to find a way to do it. And you come to the end of yourself, and you look to the Lord, and then trust God to direct your heart into the love of God. But I have been seeing God in my brethren. And there's an aspect of this that has blessed me so much. I've always longed to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I'm longing to see Jesus on that day. I'm longing to see Jesus. And that's why I'm purifying myself, because I want to be like Him, and I want to see Him on that day. I'm looking forward to that day. I'm looking forward to the rapture. But you know, I've never really looked forward to heaven to be at the brethren. I've never really looked forward to that. I've felt like there'd be fellowship there. And after our pastor shared what he experienced in the Spirit, and he said he felt like, and although he didn't see that, if I remember it correctly, but he felt like at choice, we could have a relationship with anybody up there. Have an experiential communion with any saint. If we wanted to commune with Paul, Apostle Paul, or with Moses, or with Abraham, we could experientially do that in heaven. And my heart just felt like, well, of course. Absolutely. Well, I have been experiencing lately, in the last month, I guess, a new desire to be with you for eternity. You know, there's many brethren in this assembly I would like to be around more, and I can't do it. Time doesn't allow. And all of you I would, anyway. And, you know, it's kind of too bad we'll have to go through life, and in the ministry and everything is so busy. You know, it's too bad. Well, I'm not concerned about that anymore. I really have, in my heart, looking forward to heaven, to fellowship with you. Now, if in this life, in building the body of Christ, we are told that we are going to be members fitly joined together, and we're going to be compacted by that which every joint supplies, I'm sure that in heaven, when we come into that brideship relationship and communion with Jesus Christ, that will continue. Only now, it says, now we see through a glass darkly, but then we shall see face to face. Now we know in part, but then we shall know as we are now fully known. Then we shall know fully. And I know that's going to be more. You know, we're going to know the Lord, and of course that's the emphasis. But we're going to come to know one another. There is going to be a communion in heaven. Now, I could have talked about it before, but I'm feeling it inside. You know, I'm looking forward to being with you for eternity. I love Jesus in you. And I love the way I see the grace of God differently in each one of you. And I'm finding a new love for the brethren like I haven't felt before. And, you know, it's increased my love to the Lord. I don't know how to explain it exactly. But there is just a freedom and a communion in the Lord that just goes right into the brethren. And I can see now why in John there, 1 John it says, our fellowship is with the Father and the Son and with one another. We have fellowship with the Father and the Son and with one another. And that fellowship is going to go on for eternity. We are going to have a communion in the Spirit forever and ever. I know that's true. I can sense it in the Spirit. Even as now, when we get together, you know, in prayer meetings and whatever, and the Spirit of God connects our hearts, even though there may not be a lot of solical relationship at the time, there's a connection in the Spirit. You know what I mean? And in that is such a fulfilling, such an experiencing of love. You know what I mean? There's connections that you have. And you know, we're going to have that in eternity. My wife and I, when we were on this vacation, we met different ones, you know, and talking different ones. My wife particularly one time was witnessing. And she shared with different ones in this particular circumstance. And it's like she met a Christian here. And then she came to one that was, it was like it was a bride saint. All of a sudden, there was a communion in the Spirit that just locked them together like that. And you know, you talk to some, and they're born again, they're saved, but they're just not that locking. They're not hungry to be in the bride. They're not hungry to be like Jesus, you know? And then, there are the lost, and there's no connection there. But then you meet some that, wow, they're just an automatic cementing in the Spirit. You love them. They love you. The same God manifesting in them is manifesting in you. And there's a communion in the Spirit, and you just love them. I mean, you just love them. You know what I mean? You just want to take them home with you. And you just be with them. You know, there's a communion in the Spirit that God is giving us as saints that is so precious in this body. Oh, we shouldn't take it for granted. And you know, God has been building it too through these retreats as He's causing us to humble ourselves before one another, submitting one to another. But you know, that love of God, if any man say he loved God and love not his brother, he's a liar. You know, because God is in us and God has created us. And He has ordained that we be a living organism, a body knit together in love. And I can see the Holy Spirit doing it. I'm really excited about what's happening. I haven't thought this thing out or worked it out. God is working it within. And I'm seeking Him for it, and I'm wanting more and more, and expressing that love. And I can see that as a body, as we continue to express love to one another, really taking seriously how we are a body knit together, and that we really do affect one another, expressing that love. You know, that love is just going to flow. We're going to find experiences in the Spirit because of that love. It's so marvelous. And then, when we get to heaven, brethren, there'll be no stopping. There'll be no stopping. I'll be able to think, you know, William Hill, and I'll just be right there, and we'll just be fellowshipping, you know, and I'll be able to think other brothers, you know, and sisters, and my wife, too, you know, and we'll just be right there and have experience in the Spirit. I just know that. I'm sure that's the way it's going to be, because I will know then fully, as now I am known, and there will be a place as a bride. You know, we're going to still be members one of another. If we're going to be a bride, we're a city, we're still going to be members one of another. There's going to be a fellowship in the Spirit for eternity. The love of God is seen in the love for one another, brethren. That's how the world sees it. They don't get too much out of you raising your hands, but boy, when we express it to one another, they take note. And God is releasing us into that love of the brethren.
I'm one of those Scandinavians, but I'm not going to be bound. The Lord is loosing the grave cloth. I have a testimony of what God has been doing in my life. I haven't seen any visions or anything of that nature, but it's a call that I feel that we're all going to experience sooner or later, and some have been experiencing it far sooner than I have, but it's a life of prayer and communion with God. And I think the one thing that I've been praying over the last few months, especially this summer, as I've been locking myself in the closet with the Lord, is in Psalm 27:4, which says, "One thing have I desired of Yahweh, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Yahweh and to inquire in His temple." And that is what God is beginning to put within my heart, is a desire, a single-hearted desire for Him. And out of that desire, a desire to minister to you and to minister to the pastor and to pray for the elders and to uplift them. I haven't prayed before this summer. I prayed in a rather lackluster way for the pastor and the elders. I did so. But I can say now that as God has been working upon my spirit, and as He has been breaking me, and He has been working within, that there's a I can't express it. I really can't express it. The words I find that as I'm praying that even tongues really are not sufficient, and the English language is not sufficient because God is so much greater than our understanding, and He's so much greater than any language could ever picture Him as. And I know that in prayer, there have been some, well, I wouldn't say strange things that have been happening, but I've been finding just a release, and I know that every one of you desires that. That every one of you, that no matter how busy your life, you desire that garden, you desire that place alone with God, that you can come and retreat with Him every day. And I've been making it a point to spend time with God each day. And I'm finding that God is reaching down past the facade and the ministerial ambition and all those things, and He's touching my spirit. And He's touching my spirit, and I'm finding that almost every time that I go to prayer, I just find myself weeping and crying. And I don't know why. I really don't know why at this point. But I know that God has been touching me. And there's something that God wants to do in each one of our lives. And God wants us to be those that in the days ahead, when the time of trouble comes, and that time of trouble isn't necessarily going to be persecution. What happens when we have publicity, or when there are thousands that are coming to the church or know about the church through television? That will be, in a sense, a time of trouble. And the temptation will be to lose the first love and to minister and lose a heart for God. Lose a heart for Him, just for Him. Just to wait before Him and allow Him to do the work that He so desires to do, and to allow Him to break every chain of bondage and allow Him to work within the human spirit. That's what Jesus said that the Father desired to do. He said He was seeking those who would worship him in spirit and in truth. He is seeking those who will worship him in spirit and truth. Ask yourself, when was the last time, besides at a church service, that you really worshiped God? When was the last time? Is that something that is becoming your daily bread with the Lord? And I'm finding that though there are problems and though there are things and obstacles that I'm still overcoming, I'm finding that I'm beginning to rise up. I'm beginning to rise up. And it's a anointing, and it's a place in God that I'm finding that is not simply with a head in the clouds, but that, for instance, God has been telling me, clean up your room, paint your car, do a lot of things that would strike me as being trivial. But there are things that concern the heart of God. I want to be an accurate representation of the Lord Jesus Christ to each one of you and to those that will come here in the days ahead. So I admonish you, or I testify of what God, and one other scripture that God has been making so real in my life. And that is in Psalm 80, verse 1. It said, O thou God of Israel, thou leadest Jacob or Joseph as a flock, shine forth. Thou that dwellest between the cherubim, shine forth. And that's in the Holy of Holies. And that's what God wants each one of us to be praying. And I've been praying that each day along with Psalm 27:4. I've been just praying that and praying that. Shine forth, O God. Shine forth in my life. Shine forth in the pastor's life. Fulfill the mission you desire for this church. Shine forth, O God, in your beauty, in your radiance, and in your glory, because you are going to have your way. We need the glory of God to shine forth in our lives.
Some time ago after a service, I was worshiping the Lord and music ministry was up in front singing, Come Away, Come Away. And as I lifted my heart to the Lord, I said, Jesus, I just want to come away with you. And I realized I didn't know how to, and to the depth that I desired to. And I felt the call of God so strongly that He desired that intimate communion with each one of us. And as the trumpets were calling for, I felt like they were calling forth the bride, and I felt my heart just beginning to respond to the Lord and long for that intimate communion like I'd never experienced before. And as I looked up to the Lord, I just said, Lord, I'm coming, but I wasn't going anywhere. And I began to realize the lack in my life in that area, and it really, I began to almost panic, and I thought, oh, Jesus, am I on schedule? I should have been able to know how to do this years ago, and here I am, and I'm not able to come into that chamber with you that you have called me and called me to. And I was trying so hard to come, and I didn't know how to do it, and I thought, well, I'll just say I'm coming, and I'll just imagine myself coming, and it wasn't working. And then I thought, the Lord showed me myself as this sheep sitting in this pasture, and I was lying down, and a little ways off was the shepherd, and he was beckoning to me. And I looked up at him, and I intended to go, and I began to move, and I realized that I was completely paralyzed and I couldn't move. And I saw that is exactly what I've been like. I've longed and tried in myself to somehow enter into that position that I've longed for with the Lord. And He showed me at that time different things in my life that had hindered me and caused me to have this spiritual paralysis, as it were, from entering into this position with the Lord. And I didn't know what to do with those things that He showed me, different demons. And then I was crying, and I said, oh, Jesus, I don't want to get behind, and somehow You've got to heal me. Please heal me, Jesus. And then I saw Him just walk over to the Lamb and lay His hands on me and pour this oil on my head. And I cannot tell you the security that gave me to know that if Jesus was laying His hands on that sheep, that it would indeed be healed. And I knew that even though I wasn't feeling anything, I knew that He was imparting healing virtue to me. And I believed Him to heal me. And then He showed me, as I was still longing to come into that position with Him, that He picked me up, paralyzed and all. I didn't have to do anything. He picked me up and held me close to Him and held me there in that place that I'd longed to be. And even though I was unable to get there, and He showed me that His desire was indeed for me to be completely healed and be able to come unto Him whenever he would call without him having to carry me, being crippled. And he held me and he said, "Don't worry, I will hold you as long as it takes." Because I was a little bit concerned that, oh, these things are so deep and have been with me for so long. Will I get healed before, you know, it's time? And he just assured me, that he would hold me and impart his healing virtue to me as long as it would take, and that he wouldn't go until I was healed, that he wouldn't leave me behind, that he wanted me, and that he would stay right with me. Well, then I hadn't really thought about this too much over the next several months that passed, and the Lord began to direct my eyes unto him. And I knew that even though he revealed these several demons that were involved in keeping me from the Lord and different things, I stood against them in my heart. But then he said, "That's enough. I don't want you paying attention to them anymore, because I am healing you." And he began to direct my eyes toward him. And as I began to behold him and look toward him every day, and even though things would still be in my life, I entered into a position of worshiping him. And he showed me one time that he was like this king in this mighty, beautiful palace, and he had riches all around him. And the wealth that I could see round about him was quite breathtaking to behold. It was none like I had ever seen before. But I saw him kind of with his head in his hands, and he was lonesome. And I thought, my, money can't buy love. Even the King of Glory with all his riches can't buy love. And I saw his longing and his desire to have those that would praise him out of a pure heart. And I committed myself to him then. I said, "Jesus, no matter what I feel, I am going to begin to worship and extol you and praise you every single day of my life, all day long." And it's been so easy for me. I have experienced an unceasing praise, no matter what's going on, even if I'm disciplining my children or doing the dishes or, you know, stub my toe or whatever. There's this praise that's continually going forth within me to the Lord. And I've known that it's delighted him. And once, as I was at a prayer meeting and several of us were entering into that wonderful praise, I saw the Lord in that throne room. And all of a sudden, I saw him look up and kind of look out the window, and I could see that he was hearing something, and I could see his heart was so drawn. He heard these praises, and he rushed out, and it was like the praises were like these chalices of refreshing water to the Lord. And as he went out and there would be one saint praising him, he would drink it, and it would just be so refreshing to him. And I thought, "Oh, Jesus, if I could just do that for you, I would be happy. If that's what I could do for you, and if it really means that much to you, if it really could refresh you." I thought, "Oh, well, now I know what to do with my life. This is what to do. I would love to minister to you in this way every day. If I never did anything else, I know that I could be completely happy just to be giving you this." And then as another one joined in this praise, I saw these cups come together and form a bigger one until several of us, 20 or so, were praising. And I saw it form a huge basin, and I knew it wasn't just the 20 of us. I knew it represented the body of Christ. And I saw him just splashing the water on his face and just joyfully dancing. And I thought of David dancing before the Lord, and how this mighty king, you know, was dancing as a little child, and how some people despised him doing that. And I saw the Lord, and it wasn't in keeping with his, you know, royalty. He was so free and just delighting in the praises of the saints. And then I saw him jump in to the basin, and I thought, the Lord dwells in the praises of his saints. And he was just frolicking in the praise, and he was just drinking it in, and he was being so refreshed, and it was ministering to him. And I thought, "Oh, Jesus, now I can see how it pleases your heart as we all just abandon ourselves unto you, even though we may not even feel it. It doesn't matter. It's not us we're doing it for. It's for you." And as we just did that, I just saw the enjoyment of the Lord, and oh, it met such a need in my heart to see that I had something to give the Lord and He could enjoy me. And it was so wonderful to be joined together with the other saints of God and have Him enjoy us together. It was so marvelous. And then 2 weeks ago, I was rejoicing before the Lord and worshiping Him. And then I thought of that little lamb that I was. And all of a sudden He said, "Did you know? Did you notice that you're healed?" And I began to weep and laugh and cry and laugh and cry and laugh and cry and laugh and cry. And I said, "You've done it! I really am healed! I can enter into that holy place at my own will, even when you're not just drawing me and drawing me. I can just come in anytime, because I know He's drawing me all the day long. And I am so thankful. Oh, I tell you, it is the desire of my heart. And I know that any one of you that might be feeling that you might be as that paralyzed little one that cannot freely enter in to the praises of the Lord, I would encourage you just to ask the Lord to heal you. And He will. He is so, there's no reason why He would not bestow His healing upon you. He is longing for every one of us to be healed. He wants every single one of us to be included in this. He doesn't want just a few to enter into the throne room. He is desiring each one who's been here for years and been dry and not been able to enter in or have visions or any of that stuff. Jesus wants to heal you. He wants to impart faith to you tonight to receive that healing, and you don't have to have any emotion to go with it. You don't have to have anything. All you have to do is say, "Yes, Jesus, I will receive that healing from you tonight. Jesus, I just accept it, Lord. I'm going to believe you every day that your healing is going to be flowing into my heart to bring me into this place where I can truly satisfy you. Jesus, I pray for each one out there, oh God, that is suffering in this way. And I believe you now to begin to lay your hand upon each one, and that your healing virtue would go right now into each heart. Lord, I believe you to do a miracle in each one whose heart is crying after you. We thank you and worship you, Jesus, that you are so gracious and so mighty. Oh, we just long to be in that position to fully, fully satisfy your heart. And we will, Jesus. We will, Jesus. We will believe you for every bit of healing that we need to come into this position. And we will not stop believing you, Jesus, until we are there and we know we are there."
Would you stand, please? Our precious Heavenly Father, we come on behalf of Dorothy Lyons, who has sent a prayer request in the name of Jesus. We pray, Lord, that you take away the pain. I rebuke you, pain, in the name of Jesus Christ. I command you to go. I take authority over you in Jesus' name. We rebuke you, spirit of infirmity. We rebuke you, spirit of death. I rebuke you, sickness, in Jesus' name. I rebuke you, Satan. Get your hands off of her. Lord, we ask your divine healing to flow through this body right now in the name Jesus, and touch her and set her free in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Lord, I would pray that you'd strengthen me right now. I rebuke you, Satan, in Jesus' name. Lord, I pray thy strength. In the name Jesus, I rebuke you, Satan. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Send an angel upon me. Loose the mighty power and anointing. In Jesus' name. I rebuke you, Satan. I rebuke you. Jesus' name. Command you to go, you spirit of Satan. In the name of Jesus. Amen. New spirit of sleepiness becomes a new rebuke you. Get out. Get out. Lord, give me your power right now. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing for this song.
What I have to share this evening is only for a few. And it's not an easy thing for me, but I feel prompted by the Lord to bring this. We all know the story of Jesus and the loaves and the fishes, the miracle that happened. And how Jesus fed the multitude with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And afterwards, the multitude sought the Lord and they found him. And Jesus confronted them. And he said, Jesus answered them and said, Verily, verily, I say unto you, ye seek me not because ye saw the miracles, but because ye did eat of the loaves and were filled. Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Those of you that are implicated by this, I don't feel a vindiction in my heart. I don't feel a hardness. But I feel the love of God constraining me to confront you with this thing. Because it's the love of God that is going out unto you to draw you into that bride relationship. Because He knows what you really want. You want Him. You want Him. But for whatever reason, you have sought after the loaves and after the fishes. You haven't sought after the face of the Lord. And I believe that the eyes of the Lord are going to and fro throughout the earth, seeking that bride, seeking that one who He can love, who He can dwell with for eternity. But there are those that are only seeking after that which they can get from the Lord. And God wants to come to grips with this thing tonight. He doesn't want to lose one soul. He doesn't want to lose one of you. He wants every single one of us. Every single one of us. And I'm not standing here as some holy man that has never sinned or never fallen into this ditch, because I have fallen into this thing many times. But God brought me to grips with this thing in my own life. And I thank God that He did. And I am coming into a love relationship with my Jesus that I have never had before. And it is the most wonderful, beautiful thing. It is the most fulfilling thing. It is what I've always wanted. But I was caught in a trap too. But I believe that God wants to deal with this thing tonight. The loaves and the fishes, brethren, are not going to fulfill those needs when the hard times come. The loaves and the fishes aren't going to fulfill you when the pressures come upon you in a mighty way. Even as Mark shared, Mark Hawkes, about when the popularity comes, will you be caught in that snare of popularity? Is that the loaf that you seek after? Is it because you come and meet in this beautiful building? Because we have a new organ, or because we have a wonderful choral group? What's the loaf that you seek from God? God wants to take that thing away. And He wants to replace it with Himself. He wants to replace it with that meat which never perishes. That never perishes. Brethren, it's a lie. That loaf is going to perish. It's going to mold. It's going to decay. It's going to grow rotten and stink. It's not going to do you any good. But the love of God, the love of Jesus, that is the meat that we need. That is the meat that never perishes. And that is the meat He desires to impart unto each one. Brethren, I feel led of the Lord that if you feel implicated this night, it's not a thing, it's not God's heart to embarrass, it's not God's heart to do that type of thing to you, but it's the heart of God to bring you into that bride relationship, to confront you with that situation and say, son, daughter, this thing is no good, but I have this. I have gold. I have meat that will never perish. I have that thing that will fulfill that need in your heart. I believe that God wants to deal with that tonight. And I feel that if you feel implicated this night, it's the love of God that comes through each one of us. It's the love of God I feel for each one of you. I know because of the love of God that is flowing through me right now that He doesn't desire you to walk out of this building and not dealing with this thing, because He knows the pressures. He knows what the enemy is capable of doing. He knows the snares that lay outside of these doors for you. I tell you, the loaf is not in this building. If this building is the loaf, I tell you now, it is not going to be your salvation. So salvation is going to be that rock that you are going to be founded upon. I tell you here and now, it's going to be the love of Jesus that we're going to have to be founded upon in these last days. Oh, brethren, the winds are going to blow mightily. Oh, the storms are going to rage. The oceans are going to rise up in a high and mighty way. And if we are not founded upon that solid rock, we are going to be swept away. Jesus sees it, and He sees each one of you, and He knows. He knows what He can do for those that are hidden in Him, but He knows that He can't do a thing for those that are not hidden in Him. Oh, brethren, will you let go of that loaf tonight? Will you let go of that thing tonight and allow Jesus to take it? And will you allow Jesus to give you what you need? If you feel implicated by this thing tonight, I mean those that have just sought God for the things that they could get from God and nothing else, that they won't even look unto the Lord for Him. But, oh, Lord, give me this and give me that, and I need this and I need that. Oh, brethren, He wants you to just let go. Just let go in Jesus tonight and allow Him to take you in the Spirit. Allow Him to strengthen you in the Spirit, because He wants to touch you this night. If you by this thing, would you stand? And we want to pray for you. We want to pray for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Jesus. Lord, touch those, oh God. Lord, you know those ones, oh God. You know those ones, Lord. Everyone, oh God. Lord, that would hold on to that loaf or that fish, oh God. Lord, let not one go out of this building, oh God, without being touched by Thee. Lord, for You have an everlasting love, oh God. Lord, You have the rivers of life to give unto them. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord God. Father, in Thy name, Lord. Father, we relinquish, oh God, everything that we have set before You, oh God. Every altar, oh God, every high place. Lord, we cast them down this night. Lord, that You might be Lord of our lives completely and totally, oh God. Lord, there would not be a thing, O God. Lord, that would be cut between us and You, O Lord. Father, we bind the forces of hell, O God. Lord, that would lie unto Your children and tell them that they have to hold on to this thing, for it is a lie from the pit of hell. We rebuke that false security in these things in the name of Jesus. Lord, You are our security, O God. Lord, Thou art our salvation, O God. You alone, O God, will take us through the storm. You alone will meet every need in our lives, O God. Oh, Lord, for in You is everlasting joy, O God. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Lord, we repent, O God. We repent, O God, for holding on to these things. Lord, we repent, oh God, for having these Isaacs in our lives. Lord, You will be the one, oh God, that we will seek, oh God. You alone, oh God, and we will trust You. Lord, we pray for the angels of faith. Lord, we pray for that angel of trust, oh God. Oh, to come upon Your people this night. Oh God, that it might be strengthened, oh God, by Your Spirit, oh Lord. Lord, that they would step out into the water, O God, and take hold of Thy hand, O God. Oh, yes, in Jesus' name. Oh, Lord, let Your love flood each one, O God. Let Your love flood each soul. Fill them to overflowing, O God. Buoy them up, O God. Let this night, O God, be a time of new beginning. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, we covenant with You this night. Lord, that Your face we will seek, O God. And nothing else, Lord. We will trust in Thee, for our hope is in Thee. In Jesus' name. Amen.
As I was sitting there, the Lord brought back to my mind the vision that we have shared so many times, but I want to just refer to it now for a moment, and that is that vision that the Lord gave when Community Chapel first got started, and it includes the White Room. How many have heard that total vision about the White Room? There's many that have heard that. I want you to recall that to your mind right now as the Lord seemed to quicken it back to my mind. And you remember how when we started out, the Lord showed how we were in this wonderful green area and how delighted we were to be in the presence of the Lord and to have the knowledge of salvation, the baptism of the Holy Spirit and so forth. And that's all we could see was just the joy of our salvation and how wonderful it was to just be together loving Jesus and knowing Him. And then He opened up another area to us, and all of a sudden we saw that there was more. And that represented all the fruits and the gifts of the Spirit. As this wonderful fruit arbor, we rushed over and began to pick fruit and eat them. And how thrilled we were with the fruits that we were getting. And how we couldn't give them to somebody else, but that they each one had to pick their own. And we encouraged one another to reach up and get the big ones on the top. And we saw that this was the gifts of the Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit in operation in our lives. And how thrilling it was to come into this. But then the Lord began to beckon us to another area. And some didn't even want to leave the fruit arbor because it was so wonderful. But others of us wanted to follow the Lord on. And so we went on and we saw then a whole new room that was opened up to us. And it was so white and so pure and so beautiful and so sparkling. And as we saw that, oh, we desired to enter into it. But the Lord said, no, you can't enter into it at this time because you would ruin the room. You would soil it if you did. And how that we had to wait until the Lord would cleanse our walk. And we understood that room to be the love relationship with Jesus and how that He wanted to bring us into that love relationship. And later on, remember, God added to that vision. And He showed us after we entered into that room of love that there was a deeper area of love that He wanted to take us into. And how there was such an urgency. And the Spirit of God was urging us to hurry and enter into that deep cave. And as we looked, it was a cave area in the back of that room. And the Lord had such an urgency about Him to cause us to hurry and enter back into the very deep, deep area of that room. And this is the love relationship that the Lord is quickening to us right now in this service. And that is where God wants to take us. You see, that entering into the white room, that was a selfish love. We wanted to experience the love of God, and we wanted to give Him love, and to give Him worship, and to give Him praise because of all the wonderful things that He's done for us. And that's wonderful and needed and necessary. And we need to love Jesus for every single thing He's done for us, for all the gifts and the fruit of the Spirit, for His grace, for His mercy, for His salvation unto us, and all of that. And that's a needed step to take. But oh, there's another area that the Lord wants us to enter into. It's a purer love relationship. It's a deeper love relationship with Him. And that's what God is calling us to. That's what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. That's what God wants to cleanse you for, so that you can enter into that holy, hallowed worship, praise, and love of the Lord, that we might bestow love upon Him, not for what He has done for us, and not for what we can get from it, and not to make us His bride. You see, that's all selfish. That all turns to self. It's what we can get from it. It's what we can receive. It's how wonderful that we can feel. But oh, it's to bless Him. It's because of who He is. And He's beginning to turn this thing. Can't you see it? Can't you see He's calling us? Can't you see He's wooing us into the deeper chambers of His love? Oh, that tells me something. That tells me that there's going to be a storm that's going to blow. Because after we were all back there, as many as would come back into that deep place of love relationship with Him, then we saw the storm come, and how the storm swept away the green area. It swept away the fruit arbor, and it swept right at the mouth of that white room, and those that were just standing in the doorway were swept out into that horrible, horrible storm. And only those that were way back in the cave area of that love relationship with Jesus were safe from the storm. Oh, there's an urgency in the Spirit of God tonight. I don't think we should take lightly the move of the Spirit of what God is calling us to. It's worth laying aside every weight that so easily besets you and begin to love Jesus with a pure and holy love.
Precious Lord, we thank you for your love tonight. Now, Lord, I pray for these few remaining moments that your anointing will be upon thy word and upon every heart to receive the truths that you would impart this evening. Gracious Heavenly Father, give us, O God, the bread of heaven tonight that we might receive and be fed thereby in Jesus' wonderful name. Anoint thy servant and all of thy servants in Jesus' name. Amen. I won't be long tonight. Nuggets of Truth from Matthew 16 and 17 will be the title of this short message. Reading the book of Matthew, chapter 17, verse 13, Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he said unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." There are many opinions about Jesus. There are opinions about God that religious people hold. But God wants us to know the truth. And he would say, who do men say that I am? What is my nature? Who is God? Who is Jesus really? Who do men say that I am? And after we would say who men say he is, he would say, "But who do you say that I am? You that have accompanied me and walked close to me. These other religionists have their theories, but who do you say that I am?" And when we give the truth to him, he will say, like he said to Peter, "Blessed art thou, Simon, the son of Jonah. For flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven." See, he has revealed it. In other words, there is a revelation that those who walk close to him get concerning the nature of God, concerning Jesus Christ. It didn't come from books. It didn't come from tradition. But it comes by revelation. God wants us to walk close enough to him to be able to get revelation from our Heavenly Father. "And I say also unto thee that thou art Petros, and upon this Petra I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." Now he's not saying, "Thou art Peter, and upon this rock, Peter, will I build my church," like the Catholic Church teaches. Because the church was not built upon Peter. As we read in several places, including 1 Corinthians 3:10, we read, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Christ Jesus. Now, if any man will build upon this foundation," and we read that the foundation is Christ Jesus, and in another place he tells you that the foundation is Jesus Christ, "will build upon that foundation." Now, he is saying in the Greek, "Thou art Petros, and upon this Petra." Petros is a fragment of a rock. Petra is the massive cliff rock. Petros and Petra are not the same. But he's saying, you have received a revelation from me because you have walked close to me.
And you have received a revelation because you are a piece of the rock. If we are a piece of Him, if we are members of His body, as Peter later taught, we are all lively stones in the temple of God. If we are a piece of Him, then we are part and parcel with Him. We shall receive revelation from the same Father He has. And we shall understand Him in more glorious form than others. And I will build my ecclesia, ek, out of, kalo, to call out of, to call from. Ecclesia is the called out ones. We are called out from the world. And He says, I will build those who are called out upon this massive cliff rock of which you are a fragment. He wants us not to just be religionists. There's other religionists, and they were true religionists. They had the law of Moses. They had the same book that these people had to read from, same scrolls. But these were built upon the rock, and the others were not. And the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. If we are a piece of Him and have His revelation, He has promised that the gates of Hades, the councils of Hades, that in the gates where they formed the councils and made the decisions concerning their attack and what they would do and their wisdom and so forth, shall not prevail against the church of Jesus Christ. He opens the door. No man will shut it. No demon will shut it. He is going to establish us firm as His church, and it will not go under. Liberals will not bring it under. Communists will not bring it under. No one will bring it under. And I will give unto thee the keys. Jimmy wants to give keys to unlock something. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Those who are of the kingdom of heaven that you may lock. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. Not whomsoever, but whatsoever. Not that you shall have power over any person to bind and loose whomsoever you would, but whatsoever you would. And in chapter 18, verse 18, He said the very same thing to the other disciples, to all of the disciples, because it belongs to the church. Whatsoever we ask in His name, in faith believing, where two or three are found together agreeing on any one thing, it shall be so. In fact, let me look a moment. In 18:18, and it says the same thing. And then in verse 19, it says, "Again, I say unto you that if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them of my Father which is in heaven." Now, this word "agree" in Greek, symphonio, is the word we get sympathy, symphony from. Symphonio. If any of you two are having a symphony together, you're moving together, not just, you know, everybody, not like rock music, you know, where nothing fits in with anything, as it appears to me at least. But if you're having a symphony together in the Spirit, that which is fitting right in, then I will come in your midst. And as touching anything, Greek is everything, pantos, everything that they shall ask, if we will only get a divine symphony between Him and us and others with us, just two or three, if we all get in a symphony, God will make music through that. Then Peter came to Him and said, "Lord, how often shall my brother sin against me and I forgive him? Till seven times?" And Jesus said, "Symphonio with him.
And that's not exactly what he said. I'm really making this a loose translation. But in essence, that's what he's saying. Forgive him and have a symphony with him. Forgive him and have a symphony with him. So you can agree together and walk together and talk together so I can do something in you. The devil loves to break up symphonies in the spirit. In verse 28, Jesus said, "Verily I say unto you, there shall be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom." And as we saw in 2 Peter 1:16 through 18, there were some just 6 days later that saw him come on the Mount of in a vision on the Mount of Transfiguration. They did not see him come in actuality, because that was 2,000 years away, roughly. But they saw him come in vision, and the vision from God was so true and so representative of what would happen that the Lord counted it as seeing him actually come. You didn't see him in the actual spiritually come, but you saw him in vision. When God gives a vision, the vision is true. Write the vision large that they that run may read it, the scripture says. If he gives a vision, and if it's from God, you can count on it. And he counts it as though you saw it. Because you did, in a vision. You did see it, in a vision. He did see the Lord come. He didn't just see something, he saw the Lord come. He saw him come in a vision. That's how he saw him come. But he saw him come. He didn't just see a vision. He saw the Lord come in a vision. And after 6 days, it wasn't the day after, but it was only 6 days. Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up to a high mountain apart. Now, Jesus didn't say, "Everybody come. Everybody come. All you religionists, all you that are sincere of heart, all you that really believe what you teach, come. Everybody that wants to come." He picked not the multitudes, not the Pharisees, not the Sadducees, not the Essenes that was thought they were so chosen. He chose not the 70, nor the 12, but he chose 3. And in those 3, he took them into a heavenly realm. He took them on a high mountain. The Holy Ghost stressed how high the mountain was. What difference does it make how high the mountain was? I mean, what he saw was important, wasn't it? Who cares whether it's 200 feet high or 2,000 or 6,000 or 12,000? The height of the mountain represented the distance from the busyness of this life, the hawking of whales, the bustle of this society of earth, and a closeness to God. And he took those 3 into a place away from the things of the earth, up to the presence of God, is what it was prefiguring. And he was transfigured before them. He was metamorphoma. He was outwardly changed, revealing the true inward nature of deity. They were able to see Jesus in a more intimate way than any man had ever seen them. They were able to see his divine glory. They were able to glimpse him when they came down from that mountain. They had something that nobody else had. They couldn't keep the emotion of it. Emotions are short-lived. But they had the truth of it. They now knew something in a way they never knew it before. Peter already said thou art the Son of the living God. Thou art already a chip off the block. You're already a rock off, off of a bigger rock, as it were. You're already a son of the Father. You're likened to him. But now, and he knew he was deity, but now he saw him as deity. Seeing him this way did something that hearing about it does not do. And now he had something that he never had before. And he wants us to do this for us.
He wants to transfigure, as it will, himself before us. He wants to let himself be bright and shining and full of foliage. He wants us to see his glory. He wants us to catch us up in the heavenly places. He won't do it to everyone. But he will select some to go into his presence. And these people at this time, this is at the end of Christ's ministry, they were still making mistakes. You know, right after this time, we find that, they made mistakes. Peter, allowed the devil to talk to them. They made mistakes. But they couldn't cast out a certain one. They weren't in a perfect place yet. But they were following him up close. They endeared his heart. And he took him away. Verse 5, and while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. The reason God was well pleased with him is that he was obedient in all things. He did not live for his life. He did not use the power of God for himself. He used the power of God to give to others. He was always giving. He was always ministering. He was considering other people. He feared no man. He feared only God. He compromised with no man. He spoke that which his Father gave him. He was not a compromiser. He boldly proclaimed whatever God gave him without fear or favor. He was not a popularity man. He was not winning a popularity contest. He didn't care what other religious leaders had to say. He was not intimidated by any other person. He did not seek his own. He just did whatever God said, and he laid down his life for the brethren. And it pleased the Lord. And my, what glory. He was the fulgence. The glory of God was coming off of him. He was exalted and given a name above every name, and he was going to come again as King of Kings. He's going to be King of all kings of the earth. A man, Christ Jesus. Glorified. Exalted. Because he kept the law and was justified. Because he obeyed God. Because he gave his all. Now what happens when we begin doing this? What will God do to us who begin to lay our life down, be obedient to him, not live unto ourselves but unto him, to trust him and do what he asks, and not be intimidated by other people or try to become popular or a big wheel? Christ never tried to become a big man among them. He would have done things differently if he tried to be popular. And when his disciples heard it, they fell on their face and they were so afraid. They were not close enough yet in this area to hear the Almighty speak. When God the Father speaks, angels bow their wings, fold their wings and hide their eyes. And men like the Apostle Peter fall on their face, so afraid. My friend, it's not just a voice. In the awesome presence of the Almighty. You recognize you're in the presence of the Almighty, brother, when that thing comes upon you in that way. See, he was on the mountain. He was in a place where he was seeing things. The Son of Man glorified. He saw the Son of Man glorified. I saw the Son of Man glorified. And he did. He became so afraid in the presence of Almighty God. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. Enter into a realm where you're close to God. Be not afraid. Be not so earthbound. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. All those have fled. Their eyes were now not upon Elias, not upon anyone save Jesus. He became the focal point. He became everything. Everything became dim and obliterated, save Jesus. And now they saw him, and they saw him only. And that's how God wants to get. They wanted to make three booths, One for Elijah, and one for Moses, and one for Christ. But now they only saw one. They weren't trying to include others with Christ. He stood apart, and he stood alone. And as they came down from the mountain, see, there's a mountain top glory experiences. But then we must come down from the mountain. And we must talk to others. He said, tell the vision to no man, to the Son of Man be risen from the dead. But the Son of Man is risen from the dead. We can tell the vision. We can tell the vision. He has risen from the dead. Now that he has risen, now death, hell, and the grave have been conquered. Hallelujah. And the disciples asked him, saying, why then saith the scribe that Elias must first come? Now in the vision they understood that their theology had been wrong. They now had learned things in the heavenly places that the theology was wrong. You know, when you're in that place, you're going to learn something. There'll be some changes in the church as people begin to get into that presence. They're not going to see God the same way. And Jesus, see, they find out that it wasn't Elias, it was Jesus. We're going to find out that it's not, you know, Mike and Don Barnett and Jeff and somebody else. It's Jesus. And Jesus answered and said to them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. He'll come and be the restorer. But I say unto you that Elias has come already. Now that doesn't nullify the fact that he's going to come. He said he shall come. But he also has come. And they have done unto him whatsoever they listed, whatsoever they wanted to. Then he says, likewise. He's trying to teach him something. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. John the Baptist suffered. Elijah, Jehovah is Elohim, came first in John as the forerunner. And he suffered. Likewise, Elias shall come upon Christ. The power of Elijah shall come upon Christ. Not the power of the man Elijah. The power of Jehovah is Elohim. The power of the name Elijah. Because Elijah wasn't really Elijah. He only bore the name. Elijah wasn't Jehovah is Elohim. He only bore the name. And the power that was on him was of God. The power that was on John was God. The power that was on Christ was God. John didn't truly come and restore all things. He's not the restorer. He only paved the way for the restorer. And so he pointed back and said, he's come already. But he shall come. But he didn't tell him what that moment was. He's here right now. He shall heal with you, but shall be in you. And he shall come one day and make a complete restoration. And when he comes and restores, he's going to restore through his saints. Yes. In the millennial earth, he shall restore through his saints. And in the church world, he restores using his saints, bring restoration to his ministers and to his saints, yes, who are the members of the body of Christ, bringing restoration. This is the power of Jehovah's Elohim upon his people. Then the disciples understood that he spake to them of John the Baptist. What they didn't understand is he also spake to them of Christ. And they begin to heal the sick and cast out demons. That's the ministry that God has given. You know, Jesus Christ was transfigured, the Son of Man. Do you know that we, the sons of God, shall also be transfigured? We shall also be metamorphomai. And we shall receive the rest of the Holy Ghost. We have received now just a portion, a foretaste of that glory. We shall receive the rest of our inheritance in God. And then the deity shall be seen in us as well. And they were transformed among the few brethren there. Do you know we're going to be also transformed before some people? They're going to see us being changed, and they're going to see God in us. Not I, but Jesus Christ that liveth within. And they're going to have a revelation. Praise the name of the Lord. God bless you. Heavenly Father, if there's any here tonight in the sound of my voice, that are convicted of the Holy Spirit, is drawing, being drawn unto you this evening. I pray, Lord, as they find the way to the altar, the Holy Spirit might meet them there and might do a good work in their heart, draw them and woo them into your presence. Just have your way tonight. We ask your blessing upon those that must go now, that you'll protect them and guide them and keep them and bless them. Help them, Lord. Give them angels to be with them. Give them charge over them to protect their lives, to encourage them, keep them in the faith,
walking with God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You're dismissed to your homes, you that have to go. And others may just want to wait around the altar worshiping the Lord. If you need the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, I would like you to raise your hand right now. Say, I would like to surrender my life to Jesus tonight. There's a hand right there. Is there anyone else tonight? I say, I just need to give my life to Jesus. You may put that hand down. I see it. Are there any others? Last call. Yes, back in the center. Is there another one? Any others before we close the service tonight? You want to surrender your life to Jesus? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. It is not for a church to give you that. Except a man be born again. This is the word of God. Except a man be born again, he shall in no wise enter the kingdom of God. John 3:5. Is there anyone here? He says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's none righteous, no, not one. All we like sheep have gone astray. But if we confess our sins, he says, that though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. He that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is there anyone here tonight, anyone else, who wants to surrender your life to Jesus? Just raise your hand. God bless you. Those ministers of healing, if you'll take your places. God bless you. You that raised your hand for salvation, if you'll come right down here to the altar. In fact, I would like you to go tonight. Keep people be coming down here. I guess I'll take you right here in front of this altar. It'll be a good place. Right in front of the pulpit here, if you will, please, right now. All the workers will meet you right here. This is the best decision you've ever made. They'll help you. You just need to confess your sins before the Lord. They'll help you. You don't have to worry about it. And as you surrender your life to God, ask Him to forgive you your sins, He will make you a new man or woman in Jesus Christ. Old things will pass away. Behold, all things will become new. Another altar worker right down here, please. Make sure they understand. Don't be long, but make sure they understand.